Testing. Yeah. I'm waiting on them. I'm waiting on them. I'll be right back. Yeah. Yeah. Okie dokie, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Get our attention here. I hate to break up good fellowshipping, but I wait forever. We'll never get started. Welcome to everyone this morning to the Sandpoint Church of God. You guys out on YouTube, welcome to y'all too. Is it anyone got a blue little insert for next week's scripture in there on the inside? Oh, okay. Got special folks back there. I'm still trying to figure out how we're... I guess the Lord just loves you more this day than any other day if you get one of them. I don't know how that works, but I'm still trying to figure it out. Oh, and the other one I think is in the probably in the Sunday school room. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, he's special every day. So, Was they? Well, I don't know.
I've let you know Cheryl went through the entire stack trying to find
them. Yeah. Yeah. And I know she does that every week, and I've kind of got where I hide them from her. Because I know. Yeah, you know. She had like three herself last week, the three of them. Yeah. Yeah. So let us open with prayer, please. Dear Lord, we just ask you to come in here with your Holy Spirit today and pull this church body and this family together to worship you and glorify you in all things we do as a part of the body of Christ. And we just ask you to show us the way and keep our eyes on you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So, announcements. That has been postponed to the end of summer. That's kind of self-explanatory. Next week's service, we'll just be moving on through John. You know, we're going to kind of follow and just stay with it, not jump all over the place in the Bible. We're going to start kind of trying to get some structure and just stay in one book and walk through it and try to get all the meat out of it. And of course, on the 22nd of August, we get the food and fellowship. Church council meeting, August 19th, 6 o'clock. That's the last. Oh, we do have a special one, though, don't we not?
Thank you.
So in case no one didn't know, Jordan and Rosie got married yesterday.
Woo!
And they no longer two, they are one now. So may God bless that marriage and prosperity in him. So ain't love a beautiful thing? So we have a worship song now. A fellowship. Fellowship, I'm sorry. Cheryl, will you?
Come to me unless
my flesh for the life of the world. And if you eat of this bread, you shall live forever. You shall live forever. And I will
notes here together. We'll get into the message here in just a minute. We're going to jump back just a couple of scriptures from last week. And we're going to delve into this, what the real food that Jesus Christ is talking about. Osborne, will you read the daily scriptures for us, please?
And I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of those did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them."
From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. There in verse 60, they're saying this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? You got to remember, at the time, the world did not view Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ in that moment. He was just a carpenter boy, making big statements about who he was and who God was. It had to be hard on them. Had to be hard. Because here's a man telling you everything, especially a Jew, everything that you've been taught under the Jewish law, you abandoned. Everything that you do in yourself in this world, you abandoned. You surrender everything to me, Christ, and nothing else. Once again, that had to be hard teaching. It had to be. Here's a guy. Now, you saw him earlier in the chapter, right at the beginning. Feed the multitudes. You watched the miracles. But you still have a question mark. Is he really who he says he is? To the point where some of them just said, I'm a leaving. I'm a walking away. I cannot do this teaching. This can't be right. It just cannot be right. Johnny, will you turn the fan down a little bit? We need a new fan. Could you imagine being that person? That you've been in the presence of God Almighty. And you were so willing to hold on to the things of this world that you didn't even recognize who he was. And you turned your back on Christ and walked away. The powers of this world, this power of self-gratification that's rooted in our human nature. And I believe some of them people were wise men. I don't think they were dummies. You know, that turned and walked away. But could you imagine? That's how strong this self-will, this lust of the flesh is. That I want to covet what my brother has. That I'm jealous of Tom. That I want more money than this other person has. That I want the prestige of someone else. That I want you guys to vision me as something great. Christ said the Spirit gives everlasting life. The flesh has nothing. That you're going to die. Not a physical death, but a spiritual death. Could you imagine being one of the 12 and having Jesus say, do you guys want to go to? I chose you, but do you want to go too? At least Simon Peter was smart. At least he was smart. He recognized Christ as who he was, the one that gave everlasting life, the one that will heal every individual of all their worldly sins if they seek him. You know, like, no, where are we going to go? You have the words of everlasting life. I believe that you are the Holy One. We believe you're the Holy One. So who am I today as a Christian? Am I one of the ones that just surrender and walk away? Because I'd rather have things of this world than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Christ is talking about. Is totally surrendering your total self-will, your self-desires, your self-wants, your things that you believe that will make you spiritually and emotionally fulfilled, and seek him in everything and believe that he's the only thing that can fulfill this empty vessel. This is a vessel that God created that was designed by God Almighty to house the Holy Spirit of God and walk one with God. And then the devil drove a wedge in between that. And the devil said, look, you can be self-serving. You can seek things of this world. You can basically be your own God. And you can fulfill your emotional and spiritual needs. And you will be equal with God. And there's people on the face of the earth that will actually accomplish that. In this world, they'll have enough money, they'll have enough prestige, they'll have enough women, they'll have enough men, they'll have enough drink, they'll have enough whatever in this world to skate right on in to that final day of life and never know Jesus Christ. Never know him as Lord and Savior. And then the reality will hit them that they absolutely have nothing to sustain them in the other world. You know, as Christians, we only keep what we have with vigilance, with a daily reprieve of watching what we have and working on what we have and surrendering to God, to in Christ, to work in my soul on a daily basis. You know, Christ said in here, you know, no one comes to me but unless the Father summons them, right? What does he mean there? And he means that I on a daily basis have to pray to the Father Almighty of the kingdom of heaven and say to him, please, Lord, let Christ, your Savior of me, intervene in my life today. Yeah, I want to lust at that woman down the road. I want to get something for nothing. It's in my human nature. I was born in sin. It's as natural to the human man to want to walk in sin as it is for a dog to want to scratch fleas. You know? It is. And then you get down here at the end. And this is scary to me. It is very scary. Could you imagine being one of them 12s and in that moment? And in that moment, Judas did not know who he was. He did not know who he was. I do not believe in that moment, in that time, that Judas had already made up in his mind to be Craig Price. I do not believe that that plan had happened in his mind. I think he's standing there with the 12 thinking that he's in. One of y'all are the devil. And he's standing there thinking, looking at his brother, which one are you? Not realizing that little desire. Because we got to remember who Judas was. Most people don't know, but Judas was a purse keeper for the 12. He was the one that managed all the money and made sure that he was their treasury. You know, he kept up with the funds. And him not realizing that little desire in his soul to be of Christ, but still have a little hunger for this world, was going to get him in the end. He had surrendered, he thought. And many Christians will do that. They will retreat from Satan because he's whooping on them in the name of surrender. Only to realize that they only retreated. And it was only a matter of time that they go back to the battle. I get up every day and I pray. Do not allow Satan to deceive me, Father. I had a preacher tell me one time that worked with me about a year after my wife committed suicide, my first wife. And every day we would enter our session together, and he had a question for me. And the question was, he would always ask me, do you know what Satan's greatest tool is? And I came up with multitude, you know, all the things that, you know, lust after the flesh, lust after money, you know all the ones we check out. And I'm hard-headed, you know, and he would ask me at the end of each week, do you want me to tell you? And I'm like, no, let me figure it out. You know? And I eventually gave up about 8 months in, and I said, you know what? I give up. Tell me what it is. You know, it's obvious that I'm not smart enough to figure it out. And this man shocked me. Now, this may not be blindsiding anyone else, but I did not see this coming. He reached on his desk and he picked up the Holy Bible and he said, this right here is Satan's greatest tool. He will take this, the truth, and mix it with a lie and deceive more people into hell than you can imagine. And it's your responsibility, son, to make sure that God's word is not being misrepresented to you. You don't trust that preacher. You don't trust this preacher. You get in this book. Because this is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. This is the living word of God. This book transforms and gives me different information every time I look at it. And it's never been any other book that I ever looked at was able to do that. It's alive. So if you do not think Satan, the one that quoted scriptures to Christ in the desert, will not try to put a twist on this and deceive you, he may already have you in the boat. This is serious business. This is serious business. I have to be honest that I look back and I believe I've had family members that turned their back and got to the point where they said the Lord's teaching has got too hard. Sometimes I don't know what to do with that because I love these people. You know? And I've had choices. Am I going to follow people in this world? Or am I going to follow God? Am I going to follow Christ? And that's not an easy road. Because people will persecute you. You know, they will. And then people, and then the devil will send people at the people around you trying to pick at them. You know, Satan will use people that's close to you to try to deceive you. Because those that are closest to me is the one that I'll hurt over. And see, if Satan can get me focused on my emotional pain over another human being, because they have been deceived by Satan through someone else, well, guess what I'm not doing? I'm not focusing on Christ. I'm not focusing on Christ. I'm getting to the point in my life that I realize nothing else matters but Jesus Christ. And I'm at the point I'll walk away from any and all things to serve Him. I just don't have a desire, and I'm so grateful, and I hope that never... I just do not have a desire to be a part of this world anymore. I've had my fill of it. It has left me empty time and time and time again. You know, I guess I'm slow, and it took me a long time to get there. But thank God that I finally got there. So that's my message for this week. To be vigilant. To not be one of them ones that decides the teaching of Jesus Christ is too hard to walk away from it. Don't be one of them ones that decides to sugarcoat it because it's too hard. Because one thing about Christ, He never sugarcoated anything. You know. And so if he didn't think it was necessary to sugarcoat it, I'm probably not qualified to sugarcoat it. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, that's where I live today. So thank y'all. So let's go to final prayer, if we can. I've got a prayer list here. Huh? Do we? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Here in this worn and weary land, where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of You. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know You and to make You known. We lift Your name. Run and hide.
my Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you know me. Lift your name on high, shine like the sun, make darkness run.
I know we're going to start putting something together for suggestions on worship songs. I know that's being worked on. Is that not correct?
Yes.
So before we get to final prayer, I'll say what I said last week, and I'll say it again. Is there anyone out there in the YouTube world watching this or going to watch this? And for whatever reason, you still want to be in love with Christ, but you don't have a church that you feel comfortable in, or you fell away from a church and you've been hurt or felt like you was done wrong or whatever the case may be, we love you here. And come and give us a chance here at Sandpoint Church of God, that we'll love you unconditionally and we won't be worried about what's in your pocketbook. So just come and give us a chance. We seek God in everything, in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost here. You can count on that. So we'll go to final prayer. On my list, I have, of course, Sister Kathy and that family down there dealing with that young man shooting himself. And, of course, Miss Dee and Miss Beth Ann and Sherry's shoulder. And Jimbo's back is really hurting him. I talked to him a little bit yesterday. You're in my prayers. I will be texting you this week, Jimbo, if you're watching this. And Bulldog. Got to talk to Bulldog yesterday. Thank you for what you said to me, Bulldog. It meant a lot to me and put winds in my sail. I needed the words that you gave me. I love you. Looking forward to seeing you back into church. And, of course, the family that had the four children. I mean, how do you wrap your brain around that? that burn up in the fire, and the mother, and you know, that's hard stuff. And then, of course, and I hope I'm getting this right, but out in Sagal, Tim and Scott Pepperdine got shot. Is that the correct?
Stephen.
Stephen, okay. It was sent Scott to me. So anyway, sorry about that. But they're both still in intensive care. I don't know a whole lot about it, what happened. I ain't got much information. But let's pray for those two individual intensive care, and let's pray for that family that's going through that. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask you to bless everyone in here, and we just ask you to bring comfort to each and everyone in here and everyone on this list that's in this this trying time in their life. And even the individuals that we do not know that's in a trying time in their life, we ask you to bring their comfort to them, because we know that your peace will always heal all broken hearts if we seek it. It may not heal it the way we think it should be healed, but it will heal in you. And it will heal in a way that we will be amazed if we seek you. So we just pray for each and every one of these families, Lord, for your peace, your love, your unconditional grace to come in their life in this time of need. You are awesome, wonderful God, if we seek you. Would anyone else like to pray?
Reaching out and telling others for you about you. These are stumbling blocks, Father, for us. They're mud piles that we must go through. Father, we just thank you for the strengthening of our spiritual muscles. When we come here, we hear Paulus, we hear each other. And Father, we just ask that you would continue to guide us, teach us. No matter how much it takes, teach us, Father, to trust you and to realize that you are the only way that we're going to get through this mess. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for this fellowship, Father. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. Guide us.
Dear Lord, as we leave your house today, we hope we just stay praising you in all things the rest of this week until we meet back here again. And we just once again pray for your grace and your blessings in our lives as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.